been about 4 years since I've been this close to the pulpit. Makes me a little nervous. When I helped out in Rogue River, I preached off the floor, and the pulpit was probably 10 feet behind me. So if you'll excuse me, I'd rather be right there, but George would, you can't find me, can you? But I'm interested in this morning and for you hearing me, not just hearing me, I want you to understand my heart, what I've got to say this morning. So if you can't hear me back there, you raise your hand, because if you can't hear me, you can't understand what's in my heart and what I need to say from the Word of God. Again, as I said in the class before I begin this morning, the way I stepped down from the pulpit 4 years ago, I need to apologize, because I did it in a hurry. And as I said this morning, hindsight is always better than foresight. And at the time, I thought I had valid reasons that, as I look back, maybe they weren't so valid. So I am sorry if I caused any undue pain to anybody. But at the time, you had more preachers than you throw a rock at. You're blessed with preachers here. I mean, you had Nathan, and there's a gospel preacher back there, and Elsie was here at that time. And so I didn't know, but in spite of that, I should have done things different. I love this congregation. My son has been a part of this congregation and his wife, well, my son, since, I guess, 99. That's 6 or 7 years, so you all are very special to me. And I appreciate this privilege to speak to you this morning about things eternal. As I said in the class this morning, the thesis statement, and the thing that I really want to talk about, is Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've got to think right before I can do right. There's no other way. God made us that way. He's the one that put the verse there. I cannot do right until I begin to think right. And we talked about this morning, there are four areas of our life that if we're going to make this thing work. We talked primarily about that second one. The four things are very quickly. Number one, desire. Number two, mindset. Number three, obedience. And then following the right pattern. But we need to deal on that mindset of getting the Word in us so we can do right. We can think right and do right. Mindset is so important. I can think of at least half a dozen verses that deal, I know more, a lot more than that, a lot of Bible, a lot of Scripture deal with that. But if you'll remember in Daniel 1:8, Daniel made up his mind that he might not defile himself with the king's food. He had a mindset. Where did it come from? How come Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself, in the sense he would not defile his God? Some 400 years before Daniel existed, David said in Psalms 119, verse 9, I have treasured the word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Daniel had treasured the word. And that word had become a stronghold, a fortress. And so a mindset was, I'm not going to do this thing. Nehemiah 4, verse 6. It said that the people there had a mind to work. What did they do? For years, the temple wall had laid in ruins. Everything else was built, the houses and everything. But the very thing that would guard them and protect them was down. And for years, as I said, down Nehemiah comes, 52 days, it's built. Why? He instilled in those folks a mindset, a will to work. And if we're going to get the job done that's been given to us at this place, we're going to have to major in the things that God has given us to major in. And that is our heart and what's in it. And what we must put in it is the Word of God. Now, Jesus put it this way. If you want to, you can come with me to Matthew, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 10. Jesus will say the same thing that Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 7. Matthew 15, verse 10. And he calls himself the multitude, and he said to them, two words, hear and understand. If only you hear the word of God, it is insufficient. It will do nothing to you. He says, understand. Not what enters the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Then the disciples came to him and said, do you know? Can you imagine saying to Jesus, do you know? But they said it anyway. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? They're more interested in the physical than the spiritual. They're more interested in perceiving what goes on in the physical world. They're more interested in people's feelings than they are in the Word of God. Verse 13. But Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. I am not to concern myself with the things of the world. I am not to be interested in what the world has to say. I must be interested in the things of God. Matter of fact, he says in verse 14, let them alone. Well, that sounds kind of unpolitically correct, doesn't it? Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both shall fall into the pit. Then it says in verse 15, and Peter answered and said, explain the parable to us. Explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Verse 16, very simple parable. What enters the mouth doesn't defile the man. It's what comes out of the mouth. And Peter should have discerned that. But he said, are you also? There were other people there without understanding. And there's a lot of people in the church today. They hear, but they don't understand. Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes in the stomach is eliminated? But what proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart. And those defile the man. Verse 19, so important. This is Proverbs 23, verse 7. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. And usually we just go on real quick and list the five sins that are mentioned there. But we need to, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. But the positive, the other side of that is true. For out of the heart come good thoughts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithful, self-control, the work of God, all of it, the good thoughts. But I've got to get the good thoughts in first. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders. I got to think murder before I murder. It's just, if I'm not premeditated, it's just called manslaughter, isn't it? Called an accident. Hey, I'm sorry. Adulterers. I've got to think it up here. Because Matthew 5 teaches that. I've got to think it first. Fornications. It just doesn't happen. It comes from up here, the heart. I've got to, it's mustered and brought here, and then it comes out. And then it says, thefts. I can think thieving. Or it's just borrowing. If I didn't intend to, if I had no intention of stealing from you, and I just borrowed it from you. Or it talks about slanders. All of these things that are found here first come from the heart. I've got to think what is right in order to do what's right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This morning we talked about a verse in class in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we said, number four, the fourth point about that one particular verse, that the recipients of God's blessings have to be spiritual. I've got to walk in the Spirit in order to receive those blessings. But what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? I mean, as we mentioned in class, Galatians 5:16. But I say, if you walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I've got to know what it means to walk in the spirit. And something about what I think has something to do with it. Let me give you a definition. Let me give you five definitions of what I believe it means to walk in the spirit. Number one, to walk in the Spirit means I'm in the Word of God. I'm in the Word of God. As a mother who's into raising her children, it is a consuming factor in her life, isn't it? She's dedicated it, she's given herself to it, and it's absolutely necessary. Or it's like a father who has dedicated himself or who is in his work. It is a controlling factor. He has to be careful. There has to be a balance there. But he's in his work. Or a young teenager who is into sports. You've had some teenagers, and you know how it is a consuming. They're in it. You and I need to be in the Word of God. That is a consuming affair in our life. We just can't live without it. We just can't breathe without it. I just got to do that. I've got to be in the Word of God. Is a consuming factor in our life. One verse points you to John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and what? Truth. Many times we look at that word spirit and we say it's the right attitude. I'm sure that's implied there, but I think it's much more than that. It's talking about the inner man, I believe. In Galatians 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though the outward man is decaying, the spirit man, is being renewed day by day. And therefore, if you read on a few more verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The spirit, the inner man, is the one who worships God. The carnal man, the man that is in the world, cannot worship God. But you see, what's on the other side of spirit is what? Truth. Anytime in the Greek, in the construction that this is in, spirit and truth, they are in direct relationship to each other. What's on the other side? Spirit and truth are in direct relationship to one another. It's like Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Whatever you repent for, you're baptized for. Can you go to heaven without repenting? Luke 13:3, unless they repent, they'll perish. And so they're tied together. God requires, must, be is the Greek word. It's a moral necessity that it is the spirit man, it's that inner man, it's that new creature that has the right to worship God. God will not be worshipped by fleshly, carnal people. But it is tied to the truth. Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. And I understand that it deals with that we must, very much so must follow the word of God. But I can't follow the word of God and worship unless I know the word of God. John, we mentioned this morning in John 6:63. Jesus said it is the Spirit that gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. God said, God is Spirit. And since He is Spirit and He said these words, the words are spiritual. And these words give me life. What am I saying? If I'm going to be in walking in the Spirit, I must be in this Word. It must be a consuming factor to me. The reason that I am spiritual, the reason that you are spiritual, is because you're thinking spiritual. Just because I come to the service and to the assembly does not make me spiritual. You understand that? Spiritual people come to the assembly. Because I ate the supper this morning, had communion, does not make me spiritual. Spiritual people take the Lord's Supper. I am spiritual because of the Word of God. Let me ask you a question, see if you agree with this. No Word, no faith. Faith coming by hearing it, you've got to. You'd be out of disagreement with God. No Word, no faith. Will you agree with this? No Spirit, no life. No Spirit, no life. What Spirit? The words I have spoken. That just encumbers me. That just makes me want to. I want life, don't you? I need to, as an individual, as the body of Christ, fulfill my obligation to this body and to Christ is to get into the Word, into the Word of God. Again, I'm not spiritual because I do things. I'm spiritual because of the Word of God. It makes me spiritual. So number one, definition of walking in the Spirit is to be in the Word of God. Not to be in the Word of God is not to walk in the Spirit, because that makes me spiritual. Number two, walking in the Spirit means I've got to be in an agreement with God. Amos 3, verse 3, how can two men walk together unless they be in agreement? How do I get in agreement with God? I got to be in agreement with His Word. It's that simple. Now, how do I know I'm in agreement with Him unless I get into the Word of God? So many Christians today are making an assumption that's not true. They believe that they don't have to study, they don't have to be in the Word of God to get there. There's no other way. I have to be in agreement with God to walk in the Spirit. And I cannot be in agreement with God unless I'm in the Word of God, unless I know what He says. What does He say about my salvation? 1 John 5:13, He says, I've written these things that you might know you have eternal life. Ephesians, we talked about this morning, 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. I come up to you and I said, Aunt Donnie, are you saved? I won't. Yeah, well. And he says, I hope so. And just desiring, no expectation. I don't know, but I hope so. You're walking in the flesh. Because when you're in agreement with the Word of God says what? There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free. You ask me, am I saved? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm walking in the Spirit. Are we to give as we've been prospered? You said, yeah. Do you do that? Do you give as you've been prospered? Well, if you don't, you're not in agreement with God. And you're not walking in the Spirit. You must be in agreement with God. You must be in agreement with the Word of God. You must be in the Word of God to walk in the Spirit. Number three, to walk in the Spirit means I'm sure you agree with this, is walking by faith. Walking in the Spirit is walking by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Y'all want to please Him? Get into the Word. The two are in direct relationship. Seeking the kingdom first in your life is in direct relationship to seeking the Word of God. If you're not seeking, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you're not seeking the kingdom first. It may be on the fringe. It may just be a second or third. God will not take seconds and thirds. You've got to be number one and only in that arena. Of number one. So number two, if we're walking in the Spirit, got to be number three, beg your pardon, walking by faith, being the Word of God again. Number four, walking in the Spirit is walking in the righteousness of God. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the righteousness of God. Now, please keep in mind that I am not righteous by what I do. I am righteous by what He has done. I do not earn my righteousness. In Romans, the 4th chapter, 11 times, it's imputed to us. Titus 3:5, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but by his mercy and by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's baptism. But baptism, Colossians 2:12, is a work of God. 2 Timothy 1:9, he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and his grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Granted us. If you get a grant, do you pay for it? No, it's free. No cost. And so, I need to understand the righteousness of God. But I am the righteous. He's made me righteous. Why? Well, 1 John 3:7. My little children, let no one deceive you. The world tries to deceive you, folks. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So when I practice what God wants me to do, and I can't practice unless I know what he wants me to do, and that's found in this word of God. I am the righteousness of God. What does that mean? When I declare and I agree with God that I am the righteousness of God, that means when I sin, that when I do stupid things, I'm not the only one that does stupid things, and I usually do them on a daily basis. My wife, if I said anything different, my wife would attest to that. So I do stupid things. But you see, I immediately get up and I claim that I'm the righteousness of God. I do not waller in my sin. I do not say that I am a sinner, undone, unclean. Because what? I claim what I am. The blood of God has been poured in my life. I am the righteousness of God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us. Present, active, indicative. If I'm making progress, if I'm walking in the Spirit, that blood continues to cleanse me, and I have that forgiveness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and his blood continues to cleanse us. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, but if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and righteous to cleanse us of all of our transgressions if we confess our sins. That's all I need to do. Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. And I do it with a broken and contrite heart. And I don't use 1 John 1:8-9. As some religious people use going into a little room and making their confession to a man. You know, I don't do that. Because in Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever hides his sin shall not prosper. But whoever confesses his sin and forsakes them. You see, as God reveals the sin in my life through his word, I'm anxious to forsake those. I stumble over and over and over. But you see, I'm the righteousness of God. And I get up and I claim that righteousness and I stick my old chest out because I'm a child of God, saved by grace through faith, and I get on with my walk. But some people are just like the waller in their heartache and their sin and all the sinner. I'm the righteousness of God. You see, when I understand that I am the righteousness of God, it ennobles me. If understanding that I am the righteousness of God, I can't do things that I used to do. I don't wear clothes I used to wear. I don't go places I used to go. I don't dress like I used to dress. I don't, because I'm the righteousness of God. I don't act ghetto. I don't act redneck. Now I like the redneck jokes, okay? And I am a redneck. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm the righteousness. I'm the holiness. I'm a child of God, and I do not do what the world, as they consider. I'm the righteousness of God. Number four. Number five. Not only am I the righteousness of God to walk in the Spirit. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I've got to walk in holiness. You agree with that one, surely. Walking in the Spirit is walking in holiness. First Peter 1, verse 15, where it says, just like the Holy One called you, be holy yourself in all of your behavior. Just as it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What does that mean? I got to have the same mind. I got to have the same mind of Christ. If I'm going to walk in holiness, I want the same mind. Philippians 2:5, have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. I've got to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Hebrews 1:9, he hated iniquity and loved righteousness, and therefore God has anointed him with all the gladness above his fellow. I want to be like Jesus. I want to sit with him in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. Nevertheless, in 2 Timothy, I believe, 2 verse 19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God still stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those are his. Everybody that's named the name of the Lord, let him abstain from wickedness. Now, large house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but vessels of earthenware and wood. Some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, for man, I love this word in the King James and the American Standard. It's not in the New American. Purge himself. That hurts. That's going to cost yourself. Therefore, if a man purge himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on God with a pure heart. God, if there's impurity in your life, you cannot walk with it. And if I don't know what's pure and impure, this Bible helps me distinguish between the clean and the unclean. Now, to pare all of this down, what I just said about in the Word of God, in agreement with God, walking by faith, in the righteousness and the holiness of God, if you took all of those down and pared them down, walking in the Spirit simply means walking by the Word. Would you agree? Well, Mike, why didn't you say that? Well, preachers have a way of... It's simply walking by the Word of God. Doing it the Word way. So I read the Word of God. I get into the Word of God. Why? So that I can what? I know what you're thinking. Wrong. You're thinking so I can do right. Right? I get in the Word of God so I can think right. I got to think right before I can do what's right. God is looking for a bunch of people. Bunch of people who are in the Word of God. Humble enough to hunger and thirst after righteousness, who have their thinking right. He's looking for those people who know the Word of God so that he can manifest his power. He can manifest his love in that bunch of people who are in agreement with one another, in agreement with God. Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of gospel, Philippians 1:27, so that whether I come or remain absent, that I may hear of you, that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. This congregation must be of one mind if we're going to walk, not only with God, but with each other. And that's when you get into the Word, and I get into the Word, and you get into the Word, and you get into the Word, we're going to be in agreement. And God can manifest His power in our life. And for Him to do otherwise, He can't. He only works His works in Spirit-filled people who are walking in the Spirit. And we want to compromise, and we want to compromise. We still want our blessings. Oh, Lord, help me, help me. We compromise that walk. We refuse to get into the Word of God, and we wonder why He can't. Because God will not work in carnal people's lives. He brings them into the spiritual realm, and He does it through His Word. How are you thinking this morning? How are you thinking? What controls your thoughts? Where are you at as far as the Word of God is concerned? Psalms 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. I think the church as a whole has presumed that the preachers need to be in the Word, that the elders need to be in the Word, Bible class teachers need to be in the Word, but I don't have to be. That is denominational thinking. That is not the church. That's not the way God wants us to think. I've got to believe it's time to offer an invitation, and if you're here this morning and you're sitting there in your stubbornness to change your thinking and to put it in line with the Word of God on a daily basis, you need to consider what I've just said. And there's a whole lot more to be said. But if you're here this morning and something I said says, you know, I need to correct something in my life. I neglected the Word of God. I've ignored the Word of God. I've been indifferent to the Word of God. You are cutting short your potential in living and walking in the Spirit of God. And if you've come to that realization and you need help, confess that sin. Don't hide it. Forsake it, confess it, and you'll prosper. If you need Jesus in a saving way this morning, make it known as we stand and sing the invitation song.